welcome back. Let me apologize. The news is not up. It should have been up an hour ago, but my webmaster, who lives in Brazil, is, I don't know where he is. I'm waiting for him to get back. It's all ready for him, so it'll pop up there any time. And when it does, I guess the guests haven't been updated either, but you're there. You know it's always going to be interesting. At least I hope so. There are four or five stories I have in the news batch that are really important. One was sent in by Yoshi. You'll see it's Shimatsu at the top. And the title of the story is A Lethal Coronavirus Erupts Downstream from China's Three Gorges Dam. It's some really classic and classy writing by Yoshi. He always writes brilliant things. Former editor of the Japan Times weekend editions. Then the other stories we're going to talk about with Dr. Henry Nyman this hour. Bats were sold at the Wuhan wet market, where vendors were infected by this new, what we know now is a novel coronavirus. Bats were being sold at the Wuhan wet market. What does that mean, wet market? Well, we'll tell you in just a minute, if you didn't hear it last night. The rich gene pool of bat SARS-related coronaviruses is another story. The rich gene pool of bat SARS-related coronaviruses. We're going to talk about that as well. And I could have put six or seven, but the next one, Chinese scientists obtain genetic sequence of mystery virus, a key step forward. There's more going on, but this is potentially another SARS. So far, we don't know of any fatalities. Maybe that's changed since Henry was on last night. But this is obviously extremely easily transmitted. We don't know how many have it. Could be thousands. We don't know. But Henry, thanks for being back tonight. We always stay on top of these things as well as we can. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back. And, you know, as you said, there's significant evolution since yesterday. Yesterday, really, in the morning, the Wall Street Journal came out with a story saying that there was sequence data and did confirm that it was a novel coronavirus, and that there would be announcements made, and that kind of opened the floodgates as far as the news was concerned. And everybody jumped on the bandwagon to get a story written up. It didn't have a whole lot of information beyond that. One of the points, a little bit of the data made it very clear that it was a coronavirus. It was in the same class as the SARS coronavirus that caused all the problems in 2002, 2003. And they were able to, they had a full sequence, and they were able to use that sequence to make probes so they could do PCR testing, and that they had tested 15 of the patients, and they were all positive. Well, they didn't say how many they tested, but 15 of the patients tested positive for the same virus, this novel SARS coronavirus. And so yesterday's news, you know, made it very clear that there was a problem. And there were a few reports that came out at the end of the day that kind of gave the readers a little bit of a head pat and said, you know, it's not going to be that bad. There's other coronaviruses, and they're not very deadly. And in this case, there haven't been any deaths. And we don't have any of their contacts symptomatic, so it doesn't look like it transmits human to human very well. And we got this under control, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of suspicion that's starting to come out today on exactly how under control it is and how limited the transmission is. And a lot of this concern really has to do with what did happen earlier in southern China. And, you know, some of the information that's coming out is not official. There's tweets that are coming out. And one of them said that the virus is about 80% identical to the SARS coronavirus. Now, unfortunately, even the person who did that tweet, who's actually a coronavirus researcher in the United States, said he didn't know if it was 80% of the whole gene, whether it was 80% of certain regions. And so it couldn't really get a whole lot on that, although it did indicate, he did indicate that, you know, that it was consistent with bat origin. And as you said, the CDC put out a health alert network notification.
A news release, so to speak.
Well, it was more than news release. This was directed at physicians throughout the United States. So this is directly targeting all of MDs in the United States that if they have pneumonia cases of unknown etiology, unknown cause, you know, they were pneumonia, but, you know, they didn't have the flu, and they didn't have some of the other common respiratory diseases that happen this time of year, that they should get a travel history and find out whether these patients have been to Wuhan in the last 2 weeks. And so the CDC is clearly concerned about this, and, you know, they haven't put any travel restrictions on, and but they said, you know, that there's something to be concerned about in China. And Hong Kong, of course, is very concerned. And they've been hospitalizing symptomatic people who have returned from Wuhan. They haven't got any positives yet. They found some of them have been infected with other viruses that are common human pathogens. And part of the problem is that they need a test. they need the test that was used in Wuhan. So that's one of the advantages of actually isolating the virus and getting a sequence. If you isolate the virus and you get a sequence, then you can use that sequence to make a diagnostic kit. Like you take certain regions of the virus, and you make probes of that, and you can target so that those probes are specific for that virus, and you run a PCR test, and if it's positive, then you know that you've got that particular novel coronavirus. And absent that, then you're kind of stuck, because if somebody really has that virus, you don't have anything that's specific for it. You can kind of fool around and kind of say, well, yeah, they said it was a bat virus, and they said it was the same class as SARS, and we could kind of take a conserved region of the SARS virus and make a probe there and see if they're positive for that. But you know, it's far from ideal. It's much better to have a test that's specific for this particular virus, so that you don't get false positives by picking up some other virus that's not very worrisome, that's been around for a while, and so you get a positive, you don't really know. Well, do you have this virus, this coronavirus that is known to infect humans, but is kind of like a cold virus. It doesn't, people recover, they don't really get that sick. Or do you have this version kind of in the earlier stages where they've got flu-like symptoms, but they, you know, aren't that sick yet, and it's because they've got a fairly benign virus, or is it because they, you know, came to the doctor early? Several of the publications that came out today have talked about the need to make this viral sequence available and to make the virus available, so you kind of have a positive control. And so I was kind of looking to see if they're putting the sequence up at GeneBank. Unfortunately, GeneBank had some major problems today, and was down for many people throughout the country. They couldn't. It wasn't just GeneBank; it was PubMed. It was a whole government site. So this is
a huge government server went down.
Right. It's down all day long, and actually, I found out at the end of the day that there was a workaround. It seemed part of it was routing on how you get to that server, and Xfinity was having major issues. So if you were trying to get there using Xfinity, you generally weren't getting through. I basically shut off the internet on my cell phone, and I could get there if I had Xfinity on. It just said location not found, and so that was down throughout the country. Not just the country; it was down in England, and I was down in China too. So if they actually wanted to upload their sequence to GeneBank today, they would have been very frustrated because they wouldn't be able to access it. But it did come back on about an hour ago or 2 hours ago. So it's 10 in the morning.
Okay.
In China.
All right.
So
question.
They can do it.
Question, yeah. Teacher.
Go ahead.
Back row. Let's see. What do we know from the Chinese? Is the information being parsed out very sparingly, or are they being open about it? Are they giving us updated figures routinely? How many people are on ECMO machines, if any? What do they think? What do we know? How hard is the information to come by?
It depends what part of China did the part that you're least interested in, you get the most data. So Hong Kong is very good. Hong Kong gives you the age. They give you the condition of the patient, and they give you the results. Now, the results have largely been, they have not been able to confirm that any of the patients in Hong Kong, and there's about 30 of them now, that have been to Wuhan actually are infected with this virus. A few of them, they know they've been infected with some other virus. Actually, one was a coronavirus, but it was OC47, which is a virus that's been around, 43, it's been around for a long time, and it doesn't really cause serious disease. And I think a few of them had the flu, and I don't remember what the others were. But, they don't know that they really have any patients yet. And the same thing, I think South Korea had a patient that had been to Wuhan, and they haven't been able to confirm. But it is hard to confirm without having this probe. As far as Wuhan is concerned, they haven't updated for several days, but they just gave general statements. There's I think seven patients that were in intensive care. They were critical condition, and they've had Kevin all along, for several weeks now, but they haven't really they haven't indicated any have died, and I think six or eight were discharged. And but it's a little unclear. I mean, if I had to guess, I would guess.
Go ahead.
That,
go ahead and guess. What's your guess?
Those six or eight that were discharged were tested for the virus and mm-hmm. tested negative. And unfortunately, because you didn't have the test when they came in, it's not clear if they're negative and therefore were discharged because they were infected with the virus and they recovered, or they had something else that they didn't detect. And it sounded like the major efforts initially were for influenza, SARS, MERS, and adenovirus. And so if they didn't have any of those, and two of those would be very unlikely that they would have MERS or SARS. They might have had something else and recovered from that, and now they feel fine and they're negative for this coronavirus, and so they've been discharged, and with a lot of fanfare saying, oh, the virus isn't that bad, we already discharged eight people. And unfortunately, it's not clear whether those eight people are any different than the 30 people in Hong Kong who it's not clear that any of them are infected with this virus. So the problem is, until they're actually tested with this, for this virus, and tested when they first come in, it's a little hard to say exactly what's going on. That the people that were discharged may have recovered from this virus, and they may have, you know, been hospitalized because they had some other virus and they recovered from that virus. And then in any event, you know, I don't think in Wuhan they're going to let anybody out of the hospital until they've been given this test and they're negative. But those that didn't have the virus to begin with are, if they feel better and don't have any symptoms, you know, they'll count as, you know, suspect cases discharged. Uh-huh. But
okay, all right. You know, let me do something.
It's not clear how many there were definitely infected that got discharged.
Okay, but I want to change subject just for a minute or two. This is a big story. Something like, I'm trying to remember, 1/3 of the pigs on planet Earth have been killed off by this hemorrhagic Ebola-like virus that has gone through the pig population, especially in China. So the pork right. industry has been wiped out. This is a hemorrhagic virus. Pigs are extremely close to humans in terms of cellular composition, their makeup, their bodies. That's why they can put a pig valve in a human heart, or they used to do that, and it'll take. So what about this virus? Do we worry about it? Could it jump species? Could it jump into humans? It's wildfire in terms of spreading.
Well, there are coronaviruses that infect pigs. And coronaviruses, there are a lot of different coronaviruses. There are coronaviruses that infect dogs and cats and pigs and humans and bats and other types of wet market kind of animals. And so coronaviruses are really all over the place. And I finally got into Gene Bank, and I just did a search of coronavirus to see whether they, you can do them by date. So I looked at the most recent deposit was, you know, the end of last month or end of the year. How many coronavirus sequences do you think there are at Gene Bank?
Too many to count.
Now they give you the number.
Oh, right now? Right now? As far as the new coronavirus, this new one?
No, there's zero new one. How many have been deposited? 41,000. So there's 41,000 coronavirus sequences currently at Gene Bank right now.
Okay. Is that good? Is that a good database to use to do research with? It must be.
Yeah, if it's up.
Yeah.
But other than the day, it wasn't too good. But in general, yes, it is good. Anybody can access it. And if you can spell coronavirus, you can see 41,000 sequences. But
interesting. How many of them are different, Henry? How many of them are variants on the same theme? How many of them are different coronaviruses out of the 41,000?
Well, there's a lot of different coronaviruses. It depends how you define different. And actually, that's what I was going to talk about with this paper that you mentioned with this.
Yeah, got a break coming up in 1 minute, so let's hold off until after the break. But 41,000 in the gene bank. That's interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that many.
41,000 sequences. And, you know, they're in different species. So there's swine sequences, there's canine, there's cattle, you know, cows, bovine, and there's human from SARS, and there's a lot of bats. And right after the break, I want to talk a little bit about these bats and what do you think bats do when they're in a cave and there's a lot of bats and there's a lot of viruses and there's co-infections? What do you think happens when that happens? When you got them all in the same species, in the same host?
Wow. Well, all right. Hold on. We'll find out. We're going to talk a little bit about and define the wet market again tonight. This is an important term. The Chinese people are different. They do a lot of things differently. And the wet market is certainly one of them. Back after this. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D., about this new coronavirus on the loose in China. We don't know where it's going to go. In 2003, SARS killed about 300 in Hong Kong. There were a bunch in mainland China, killed over 50 in Toronto. It ran, and it has the same basic profile. Basically, is this one. Go ahead, Henry.
Okay. Well, the paper I wanted to talk about is actually written by researchers from, guess where? They're from Wuhan and the United States. They include the person who tweeted about the percent homology. It was at 80%, and these some of these researchers may very well have been involved with the sequencing of the Wuhan virus. The Wuhan virus was sequenced rather quickly, and they clearly indicated that it's similar to the bat SARS virus. And this particular paper and the one that preceded it really came up with a few bat viruses that were very, very close to in sequence to the virus that was in Guangdong province and jumped to many countries, including Canada and Singapore and Vietnam initially from the Metropole Hotel. But the title of this paper is a little bit long title, but it's The Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses Provides New Insight into the Origin of SARS Coronavirus. And it doesn't have anything to do with bioweapons. It has to do with caves and bats. And in fact, it isn't even caves. It's one cave, and this cave is about 60 kilometers outside of Kunming City in Yunnan province. So they're not really next door to Wuhan, but this one cave has a lot of bats, and they've been mining this cave, if you will, for data from getting samples from these bats for the past 5 years or so. And what they found in this paper that came out just over 2 years ago, came out at the end of 2017. It was published in PLOS, and I've uploaded most of the paper. I've uploaded the whole paper. It does provide insight. They were able to find viruses that were like in the 97% to 99% identity to the SARS virus from 2000 to 2003, and that's even above this current Wuhan one. But they have a whole spectrum of viruses, and there's probably bats up in Wuhan that are behaving the same way as far as the virus and how the virus evolves. And so the paper is very detailed. It's got sequences for, I think there were 11 newly discovered sequences that were described in this paper, and I think they have four in the paper before that, so they've got like 15 new SARS-like coronaviruses in bats. Uh-huh. And what they're finding is that the, like I said before the break, I don't know if you heard me because they had the music going, but basically when you have a cave where you've got a lot of bats, and the majority of the bats actually are infected with one or more coronaviruses,
right.
That's the type of environment where you get dual infections, and you have individual bats that are infected with more than one coronavirus. And when you put more than one coronavirus into the same host, you might kind of be able to figure out where I'm going with this. You get recombination. And they did the sequencing, and they found very, very clear-cut examples of recombination. And they found that the viruses are recombining rapidly.
The genes are changing
yeah. rapidly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave
now, what does that mean? Let me just say this. What that means to all of us is, right now, the virus's potential for infecting is X. Because it's recombining, it could turn into Y or Z very quickly and become far more volatile and far more lethal. Recombining viruses are messy. Go ahead, Henry.
Right. And one of the features that was noted for the SARS virus as well as the MERS virus is their S gene, which is the gene that's involved with the receptor binding domain, that it prefers binding to the angiotensin conversion enzyme 2 receptor. And that's a little bit unusual, and that was found both for MERS and SARS. And so there's concern about viruses that have actually picked this up. And they have found viruses in this pool that do have this property in viruses that are in bats. And so you might be a little interested in how they do the assay to know whether they bind to that receptor. They have HeLa cells. We've talked about HeLa cells in the
yes.
past. So they have HeLa cells that do and don't have the ACE2 receptor, essentially. And so if they put the virus on the HeLa cells with ACE2, receptors, the virus grows, and if they put it on the HeLa cells without the ACE2 receptors, it doesn't. And so that's now they demonstrate that they do recognize the angiotensin II receptor, and they have that property. And they have viruses that are actually have components from three different coronaviruses, and they've got the other corona, they've got the parental sequences there, so they could say, well, they took this portion of the gene from this virus, and this portion from this virus, and this portion from this virus, and it took three different viruses and made, you know, some brand new virus that's got a little bit of each of those, and they can see these components that were in the SARS virus that are in the bat virus. And so it's not clear that the viruses in Wuhan really came from any of the ones they've got in Yunnan province with all of these bats, but it does show how the coronavirus can evolve and how all of the components were in bats. And so as we mentioned yesterday, as a reminder, that with the SARS, there was civet cats were kind of the intermediary host that, that they looked at wild civet cats, they couldn't find the virus. But when they looked at the civet cats that were at these wet markets, and the wet markets, just as a reminder, are places where people can go and pick out their meal, so to speak, that they have these more exotic kind of wild animals that they have in cages. And they're actually slaughtered on the spot. And so it's wet because there's blood and guts all over the place. And so there's a lot of body fluid.
The other side of that coin is, what the hell are the Chinese eating bats for?
I don't know. I was surprised at that. And it was, I had missed it when I first posted it. But that was actually in the CDC alert, that they had mentioned in their alert that that the wet market where these cases were mm-hmm. some of them were vendors at this seafood market, but they said that, you know, in addition to seafood, they sold these different exotic animals, including bats. I mean, they came right out and said that they sold bats there. So so that market really offers an opportunity for coronaviruses in the wild in bats to have direct contact with people that are looking to get their dinner nice and fresh. And the meat may be fresh, but so are the viruses. So they would have a good chance of getting live virus if any of these animals were infected with the virus. And so they have not, you know, traced the virus to my knowledge. They haven't said anything about it. They've identified the virus in such and such. The only place they've identified the virus so far in 15 of the cases. And that's another reason that, you know, the sequence and reagents need to be made available so those types of studies can go on. Because I don't know where these bats came from, you know, and
they didn't come from Walmart. We know that.
No, but like I say, I don't know whether they actually raise them or they just go and collect them in from caves. Yeah, these caves are loaded. So whether they can go to the same caves that provided samples for the wet market mm-hmm. and sample those and find out whether it's
well that's
the
see that's not
there.
The only that's not the only weird animal that the Chinese eat at a wet market. And you got civet cats. You got dogs.
Bats were unusual. Well, the dogs really aren't aren't dogs. They're raccoon dogs. So I think they're closer to raccoon than they are to dogs.
The Koreans like regular old dogs. All right. Yeah.
Right. These are raccoon dogs. And the civet cats aren't cats. They're more like weasels.
No.
And
small mammal like a weasel. That's right.
Right. But that's what they have. They have these various small animals that are fairly exotic as far as, you know, many other areas. And people come and purchase them because they want fresh meat. And so there's a whole lot to be done as far as, you know, trying to figure out exactly where this virus came from and where it went. I mean, that's why you're getting these travel warnings, because everybody's aware of what happened with SARS. And so this Wuhan virus is just like the SARS virus. It was, you know, one airline flight away from just about anywhere in the world. And so there is that kind of concern, and some of the countries adjacent to China are doing airport screening for
they're worried.
Temperature
now,
for fever.
Here's the trigger point. When and if we begin to hear about case fatalities, we'll know that perhaps the virus has recombined into something more lethal, or that this virus may just take a longer period of time to kill somebody. But this is going to be like pulling teeth from the Chinese to get the reality of this. They're very slow to let this stuff out.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of pressure if it starts showing up, you know, additional cases. Right now, they're trying to say that things are controlled and it doesn't really transmit that well human to human. But
we've heard that before.
There's a lot of skepticism because, this is a little bit different than avian influenza. I mean, with avian influenza, you do need to jump the species. So you got to go from a virus that transmits easily in birds to transmit in mammals. In this case, these viruses are in mammals. I mean, they're bat viruses. And like I say, there's examples of these viruses in dogs and cats and pigs. And so those are all mammals and these exotic animals, these civet cats or raccoon dogs. So there's a lot of, and some of the milder versions of the coronavirus are in humans. So the virus is known to be able, I mean, it lives in mammals, and a lot of the transmission in a new species is dependent more on proximity. I mean, that's what happened when the wet markets, where, you know, they had the exact same virus in humans and civet cats and raccoon dogs. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a couple other species that they identified the virus in some of the wet markets. So the virus could clearly jump from one species to the other and certainly had, severe effects in humans. And I'm not sure about the other animals, how sick they actually got. But this article in PLOS, it really, is an eye-opener as to how many different viruses are present in the same location. I mean, all of the studies that they've done three or four papers now, and they got at least 15 different viruses that are close to the SARS virus, not just a coronavirus, but a coronavirus is fairly close to the SARS. And they said all of these viruses they've isolated have come from the same cave. And there's a little bit of seasonal variation that they can get a very high frequency in the fall, which is, you know, not kind of when this outbreak kind of got going at the end of the fall, beginning of the winter. And that's when the SARS virus got going. Mm-hmm. It was like, November, December type of time frame. So everybody is kind of waiting to see what the sequence is and see, you know, how close is it to SARS and does it have, you know, this ACE2 receptor binding properties, which SARS has and MERS has. And these are beta coronaviruses. I mean, the viruses are already kind of broken up into alpha, beta, and gamma kind of groups, and both yeah. MERS and SARS are beta or group two. And and it sounds like this new virus is going to be a beta virus, just because they said, you know, the similarities with SARS and bat. And it might not need an intermediate host, because the this paper in particular, well, earlier papers had that. I mean, there were similar viruses being described as early as 2004, 2005. This paper seems to have more as far as being SARS-like, and it seems to have more recombination, and it seems to have more examples where individual genes that were noted, that were notably different in the SARS virus and some of the earlier bat viruses, that they found examples where they're very close to SARS. And so it's a little bit hard to tell. This one tweet said, you know, 80%, but he admitted he didn't know what was being compared, whether it was the whole sequence or whether it's the protein sequence. Usually the protein sequence will be a lot higher. So it's probably the nucleic acid sequence. And but it's not clear whether it's for the whole genome or if it's for, you know, particular regions, and whether those regions are conserved or diverse. We're still kind of waiting for that sequence. I don't think it's going to take that long, because there's been several of the articles that have come out that have said that, you know, the sequence should be released as soon as possible, because they need to develop these diagnostic kits so that they can figure out. I mean, it's flu season now. It's supposed to be a bad flu season. A lot of
That's
people
right.
are going to have flu symptoms.
That's all we need is to have this over here.
Wow. And people don't always test positive for the flu virus, and you know, if that's all that's going around, they just kind of figure, well, they got flu symptoms, and they don't even wait for the test. They just figure they've got the flu, and if it's they're at risk or whatever, they kind of treat them as if they have the flu, because even if they test them, it takes a couple of days to get the results, and so they treat them before they get the results back anyhow. But that's one of the concerns, is the diagnostic. The other is exactly what does this virus look like. The other is,
well, to me, the big concern for me, Henry, is just from, and you're the professional, is the fact that it's just an airline flight or a sick hotel guest puking in the hallway away from taking off.
Yeah, and that's what the take-home message was from SARS, that it was really the vast majority of the serious international cases traced back to this one incident in the Metropole Hotel. So this is one individual, one guy that basically got the virus going into, you know, multiple continents and multiple cities, and led to explosion in each of those cities. So if you had 10 people that did that, you know, it would have been a very different scenario. You had almost 800 people die. You know, you could have had 8,000 people dying, and it can be exponential. So if you had 10, doesn't necessarily have to turn into 10. It can kind of get to a critical mass, and it can be a lot more than 10 times as many, that it can just feed on itself. And And even though this originally happened in 2002, 2003, there still is no treatment. You know, this is just kind of keep people on fluids, and if they can't breathe, they'll come up to an ECMO machine. So you keep them breathing and keep them hydrated. But it's not like there's a treatment for the virus itself. And
it's not. Remember the big flap? Everybody was after Tamiflu.
Well, that's what happens with the avian influenza. You get the or with the swine flu. I mean, it was you had something that did work, but you had to kind of take it quick. Yeah, it works best if you start it within 48 hours of symptoms. And and if it's a bad flu season, there have been shortages, especially for pediatric. And this year is supposed to have the same thing. Of course, you know, for this is a coronavirus. The Tamiflu is not going to do anything for that. And there were some antivirals that were tried on SARS, but it's not clear that really had any positive effect on those. And so it's kind of, you know, a couple decades later, and it's not like there's any better treatment options.
None.
And there's still a lot of bats and a lot of versions of the virus, and it sounds like another one's out and about. And we'll just have to stay tuned and get a little more information on, you know, these patients that are already in Wuhan, how sick they really are, and who exactly is getting discharged. So we'll stay on top of it and give updates probably next week.
Thank you, Henry. So, thank you, as always.
That's where we stand. Okay.
Take care. All right. Dr. Henry Nyman, and there's your update. Just remember the recombination aspect of these viruses is the critical issue. If they recombine in such a fashion that they can knock on one of your cell doors and the door just falls off its hinges and they can walk right in, which can happen, then this stuff is off to the races. That's all it is. One recombination, one genetic position changes. Boom. So we'll watch it for you. All right. Be right back with Dr. Richard Allen Miller, PhD in physics and life, coming up next.